Hello, it's Jason here, and you're listening to cradio.org.au. Well, it was my great pleasure this week to welcome into the Cradio studios the Secretary to the Pontifical Council for Family, Bishop Jean Lafitte. Right now, you're listening to part one of a conversation that we recorded here in the studios. Bishop Jean Lafitte is the Secretary of the Pontifical Council for the Family. He holds a doctorate in moral theology from the JP2 Institute for Studies on Marriage and the Family, and he studied at the universities of Toulouse, Cambridge and Salamanca, and the Pontifical Gregorian University, and he's also taught as a professor at the Pontifical Lateran University. So I don't think there's anything I can ask him today that he won't be able to answer. And this last weekend, he's been speaking in Melbourne at the 2011 Share the Dream Conference, sponsored by the Australian Catholic Bishops' Commission for Pastoral Life and hosted by the Archdiocese of Melbourne. And it's our great pleasure now to welcome him into the Cradio studio. So welcome, Bishop Jean.
Thank you very much. I'm also very happy, glad and grateful to be here with you and with the auditors of Cradio.
Oh, well, yeah, you're very, very welcome. So how was your weekend in Melbourne?
It was good, very dense and intense. I had four different meetings and had to talk to the families and also to the group of young people on Saturday. And there were about 800 people, no? Families, children, young people, and so it was the familiar gathering, I could say, no?
Had you been to Australia before?
Yes, once, some years ago, 7 years ago, I gave a course at the Australian section of the John Paul Institute in Melbourne.
Okay.
A course, I remember, on the topic marriage and forgiveness.
Okay.
You see, it's a program, no?
Okay. And were you impressed by the other keynote speakers at the conference?
Yes, even if I was talking to the group of the young when another speaker was no. And certainly the people who were talking in different workshops were extremely good, because I had good echoes now, and it was very, very interesting now.
Okay, well, I hope after this very intense weekend, my questions for you this morning aren't too tricky. So while you were down in Melbourne over the weekend, I was at home watching television, and one of my favourite programmes came on, Australian Story, and this television show is just about Australians who have interesting stories. But at the beginning of this episode, the presenter, Caroline Jones, said that this episode was likely to provoke strong feelings and intense discussion. At its heart, the issue of family and concepts of fatherhood and paternal responsibility. So this pricked up my ears, especially because I knew I would be speaking to you today. So I didn't know what it was going to be about, but it's about a man from Sydney called Paul Van Raak. So he lives in Sydney. He was born in Sri Lanka, and he's now 61 years old. But he came out of the closet, he declared that he was homosexual in 1978, and he was a very active gay activist. And in 1984, a female friend, asked him if he would help her conceive a child. And he hadn't really thought of this before, but he decided to do this, and they got married. But he said he didn't get married because he wanted to be married to this woman, just to legally help protect the child. So it was just for legal protection. This girl's name is Mary, and she would now be in her 20s. And his second child is Raj. And amazingly, he's in my class at university. I saw him on the television. I never knew that he was part of this extended family, but he was raised by two lesbians, but his biological father is Paul. Now, altogether, Paul has six children from five different mothers, but he thinks he might have half a dozen more out there. So, anyway, this program just raised a lot of questions for me, and I guess the first one would be, What actually is family?
Family. If you had asked the question only 30, 40 years ago, it should have seemed very strange, because the family, spontaneously, is understood by all the common people and many people, and naturally, the stable union between a man and a woman with a definitive character, and in order to create, to found a family, to welcome eventually the children that come for this union. The family is this unit whose fundament is love, love between a man and a woman. In the example you have just quoted in the mission, the program you were listening yesterday, there is no family at all, because the mother of the children of this man was used only as a procreative woman, no, on her demand, no. It means there was no loving relationship between this man, Paul, I understand, no, and these different women, no. Of course, I don't want to speak badly on precise person, and who have certainly a certain experience of some relationship with all these people, no? And part of this relationship can subjectively bring some subjective satisfaction, but it's not a marriage, it's not a family. So in this context, there are no condition to have a true sonship or fatherhood, no, relationship, no, filial or paternal or maternal relationship. We cannot procreate or provoke the birth of children without a context of a loving family, a context in which every child has the right to be born, to come to the existence. It's a human way of living and to grow and to be member of the family. So the example you gave is a very extreme, very, very extreme. It's a case of, should be also a case of sociological literature, I mean, not, yeah, as example. But more fundamentally, we have always to think that a family is really something founded on human love, of an authentic human love. It means the commitment to make a covenant, to be united with a beloved person for all the life. It's a gift. It's a gift. When you say to somebody, "I love you," you cannot imagine that should stop after 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. It's contradictory. No, if you give yourself to somebody, you give your present, but you give also your future, your liberty, your freedom, no? And that's the best sign, no, of love, no, that to offer somebody his own future, and that's properly that unique in this relationship, mm-hmm, which is marriage.
Because people can say you're a very boring, traditional person if you believe in this traditional concept of family and marriage, but the truth is that love lies at the heart, and that is what makes it always relevant and always, yes, exciting.
It's boring for them because they see the family as an abstract concept. It's not boring for us as we see the family as a concrete human experience. John Paul II was talking always on the fundamental experiences. He called them essential experiences and sometimes elementary experiences. I heard three different expressions of him,
okay,
to define this. Experiences that are heart of every human being. It means some desires, huge desires that everybody of us has in his heart. One of these desires is to love and to be loved. And in every human being, there is this aspiration, no? To be able to say to somebody, I love you, or to wish to be loved from somebody, a beloved person. So love is not only a one-way movement, no, like a projection of my own desire, but is a reciprocal movement. And the reciprocity is the verification of the authenticity of love, because once two persons love each other, and once this love comes to this mature form, no, in such a way that they decide not to share their life, no, or their life, then it creates something particular. It's not only two persons, it creates a unit. And this unit is so important that it will become to be recognized by society, by the church, by your friends. We know that this person, Peter and Mary, are a couple, a marriage. And afterwards, now the couple can expand in to the dimension of the family with the coming of the children, and is known as a family. All the legislations in the world have always recognized this specificity of the familial unit.
And actually, that reminds me of a question I really wanted to ask you, which is that, you know, you're a bishop, you're the secretary of the Pontifical Council of the Family, you must always be speaking to large audiences like you were on the weekend, and about the concept of the family and marriage. But I really wanted to ask you, is there a particular childhood memory you have, maybe of your own parents, or something that happened when you were young, an experience of family that you personally cherish, or that even though you're, you know, working at the Vatican and a very busy man, are there, sometimes do you ever pause and think back to something that happened when maybe you were 5 years old that really gave you an appreciation early in your life of the value of marriage and family?
There are many memories, no, of this time, of that time. No, only that I have a special experience of family, because I'm the last of 12 children. Same father, same mother, as we say in Africa, no? And these 12 children, 10 of them got married, have 36 nephews and nieces, and have more than 50 grandnephews and nieces. So my parents, my father died 33 years ago, but my mom died only 13 years ago. It's recent. But both have now 99 descendants. It's extraordinary. So my record is that extreme attention that my parents had for each of us.
Even though there
from
was 12
the oldest
of
to the youngest. I was the youngest. I may say that, because normally, you know, in a family, it's like in life, no? Your brother and sister, the older, no, have their rights, no? They are older, they have a certain, no?
Yeah.
But the parents were available for every one of us, no? Each one, no? And it's something which created a deep relationship between us all, and you would not imagine that still today it happens that we gathered 9, 10, 11, it's difficult to be 12 together, no? Because always somebody who cannot come, another, no, has a problem with a child, another professionally cannot move. But in the last 5 years, I mean, we had five or six times.
So it's not just even childhood memories, it's ongoing experiences of family.
Of course, because it's a childhood experience which doesn't finish, because it's a loving experience. A loving experience never finishes, never.
Wow.
We have only to keep faithful to the love we have received, of course, from the Lord, also from the others. No? And it takes many forms. The love of a parent for children, but the love of a man for his wife, the wife of his man. The engaged people, no, are full of questions when they are going to get married. And we have to prepare them, no, to show them the beauty of the way they are going to go, no, and to have, no, together. No. And also anything other form of true and authentic love, no, founded not on an exchange of egoism, of individualities, of individual desires, or things like that, but an exchange of true disinterested and self-giving, self-offering love. No, that's the experience that everybody can do from the childhood.
And so this is what is really under attack today, is not just marriage and family, but the experience of love within marriage and the family. And yes. I notice...
Yes, because your question started from the point, from this appreciation, this judgment on the classical, traditional form of the familial unit, and conjugal, no, couple. But the problem is that everything is boring if it remains in an abstract field.
No? Yeah.
You know? It's abstract, then it has no existential importance. So at the end, if you speak of love to a person that never loved in his or her life, then it will be boring for. If you speak of Christ to a person that never asked himself who this man was, the Son of God, but who really not has no idea and no interest, no curiosity to know the person it is about. I say that because we are beginning the Holy Week, certainly it's an occasion not to have our look and our eyes fixed on the person of Jesus, but it's only an example, no?
Well, but
and so on, no?
So how do we, like, evangelize, so to speak, the message of family and marriage to people who, because there must be so many people, and I think of some of my friends, people from my generation who maybe grown up with divorced parents, or
yes.
Their experience of family is very negative. How can we, young people listening especially, how can they share this message?
I think it's true that many young people have a bad experience, family experiences. So the idea, the pre-idea, the prejudice they have, could be negative, no, or at least something not very interesting. But we have to see deeper, no, the matter. Every person, even all the person who have bad experiences in the past in their family, you know, has the free capacity to choose to love. So the experience, you know, to love is an experience open to everybody. I was thinking during the last days to this story, you remember, as a Christ met the Samaritan woman?
No. At the well.
It was, yes. It's very interesting because as a woman, he didn't judge the person. He did not moralize, no. At a certain moment, he said, okay, come and tell your husband that he should come. I don't have a husband. Yes, you're right in saying that, because you had five, and this, with whom you are living now, it's not your husband. But the woman is not badly treated at all. She's surprised. She's surprised, and this man had the capacity to read what is in my heart. And so she ran down, said, I met somebody, I met a man, should it be the Messiah? He told me everything I had done. But she said that with hope in her heart. And if Jesus talked to her, no, even if she had had five or six or more men in her life, it's because this woman was still capable to love.
So it's really important.
So I think the problem is not a problem of capacity or not capacity. The problem is a problem of hope.
Mm.
Do the young people hope they can be happy by offering themselves to another person or to God if they discern that they have another call to love, because the relationship to God is a loving one, and there are different ways of expressing our capacity to love and to be loved. But in most of the case, to found a family, to love somebody, you can understand that better if you think of the experience of an adolescent, 16, 17, 18, who falls in love. No, oh, I love this girl. No, I love this girl. And at the same moment in which he say that he loves a person, he could not, at the very same instant, no, think that, oh, I'm happy, I love her. It will last maybe 3 years. If he say that, it means that he doesn't love the person. And that's an authentic experience, deep anthropologically, no, humanly, very deep in the heart of every man and woman. No, when you have the experience of love, when you want to love a person, you take a decision for the good of the person. It's a decision, but in order to be able to take the decision, then you have to live this love grow. No, to grow in a respect of the person, in a consideration of the person's personal liberty, freedom. No, so that at the end it's truly an exchange. No, of two freedoms. No, choose really to create something, and to live. They get married. To live these. Unit that form, not have a transcendent expansion by welcoming of a child. No. Can you imagine that the union of a man and a woman is the only natural mediation in nature and in a world, so that one human being can come to the existence, a new human being? So can you imagine this intrinsic relationship, no, between love, between a man and a woman, and life, and human life. So you see that the relationship is fundamental. And so if it's so fundamental, it's true that the aspiration of somebody is to love, but to such an extent that this love is so great that it can provoke the coming to the existence of a new human life. That's extraordinary. And a young person is always sensitive to hear that, because it's a truth. It's the truth of his own personal and deepest part of his nature, of his soul, of his heart, of what he really wants. The rest are commentary, abstract of what we talked about, you know.
Sure. So it's so simple, but it's so magnificent, and it's maybe we all need to just take a bit more time to just reflect on how amazing human love is and how amazing marriage is. It's so simple, and people can pass it off as being boring, but really it's the greatest miracle and the greatest longing of the human heart to be united in love with someone else.
Also, we have the experience of having friends, no? Couples that go well together, no? We all know old couples who are still not totally taken by love, no? Who love each other. Like the first day, you know? It's extraordinary. We have to be able to contemplate what is beautiful, no? The beauty of human love. But for that, we have to keep the eyes of our heart open to admire the beauty of what God did as he created man and woman.
Bishop Jean Lafitte, the secretary of the Pontifical Council for the Family. And to listen to part two of that interview, just go to the Credio website, credio.org.au, and click on the Rush Hour link. And of course, on that website, you'll find many more interesting programs and a live stream of Catholic music, which plays 24/7. Thanks for listening. God bless.